Hello, my name is Dr. Tosike. I participate in Global Track and Field in Cross Country. And my favorite thing that made me to be a runner is it's part of who I am.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Triple Knot, a podcast for collegiate runners to share their stories, celebrate their accomplishments, and open up conversation around the challenges we may face as young athletes. Calling in today from Kentucky is Dorcas Mwazike. Dorcas grew up in Kenya before coming to the U.S. to pursue her life as a student athlete. She has established herself as one of the best collegiate runners in the country and as the best distance runner in the University of Louisville's school history, marked by two All-American titles in cross country, the first in her school's history to do so, All-American titles on the track with as high as a second place finish in the 10K at the NCAA D1 track championships, and she set school records in the 3K, 5K, and 10K on the track. Dorcas has also been awarded numerous ACC awards such as Athlete and Scholar Athlete of the Year. Dorcas just finished her fourth year of college, but she still has a full year of eligibility left as she works towards her nursing degree. So without further ado, let's lace up. So Dorcas, can you set the scene for us of where you are and what's currently going on in your life?
So currently, I'm in Louisville, Kentucky. So I do track and field cross country in Louisville. And I'm from Kenya, international student. I'm doing nursing right now. So, but now I'm just doing psychology class as a minor because we don't offer nursing class during summer. And I'm practicing to running a little bit and doing some core exercises. That's all about what I'm doing this time.
Yeah, it's for sure a weird time between the semester ending and transitioning into summer and with coronavirus right now. So that's nice to hear that you still get to take some psychology classes and focus on your running. So how did you get your start as a runner? What is your backstory?
So in my family, like I have six sisters and all of them are runners, like all of us, we are runners, but I was good in soccer, but my dad told me, I think you should be focusing on running more like your sisters, because in Kenya, soccer is just like, it doesn't give you like much opportunities like running. So I decided to start running like slowly with my sisters. And then the most important thing, when I went to high school, it was not that far away. It was like 4 miles. So I used to run to school and come back home. And that's where I get used to running.
Wow. So all six of your sisters run? That's so cool.
And as I think, if you know, Bridget Kosgei, one of the marathoner who hold the world record for the marathon, she's my sister.
Wow. So growing up, did you have, like, clearly you had people to look up to in the running world. Did you have people to look up to in terms of coming to the U.S., like how tangible was aspiring towards being an NCAA runner for you?
Well, I didn't have a dream of coming to America. Well, hardly. But when I joined high school, I was like, one day I'll go to America, but I didn't know how I'll get there. But after a couple of years, when I was about to graduate from high school, one of my mentor, Wesley Correa, who was Boston champion in 2012, and was studying at Louisville too. He told me to if I can get a C+ in the above, and if I can, he can keep on running, he can give me a scholarship. He can like find a scholarship for me to come to America. And that's when I started to think, oh yeah, this might be my way to come to America. So I started working hard in school and running, and I made it. So I decided to come to America, but I didn't know exactly where I was going. But since Wesley was here and he knew like much people here, that would make me easy like to translate. I mean, to transform like in everything, you know, how difficult it is, like knowing people, like where to get the food and where to get whatever I want. So Louisville was a good place because we had a lot of friends there.
Neat. That's really great to have a role model like that in your life, especially for such a huge transition of moving across the world.
Yeah.
When you were in high school, you won the 5,000 meter national championship in 2013. You won provisional cross country and 1500 meter championships in 2014. So you got to taste some success.
Yeah.
What opportunities were open to you as a runner, and did you see the potential that you had?
Well, yeah, I knew the potential, but my parents, like, for example, my dad was like, oh, okay, running is just like this additional thing, but he was more focused on making me like to study more. So I knew one day I'm gonna like pursue the running, but not that much as being the run on NCAA level or whatever. Yeah, I didn't think about that, but I'm in place.
So yeah, running was just more of a supplemental thing to your studies and the other parts of who you are.
Yes.
So you talked a little bit about seeing the option of coming to the University of Louisville and getting a scholarship. What were some of those initial conversations you had with coaches, and what was that transition like to actually making the move to Kentucky?
Well, first I was wondering about the weather. That was the thing that made me like, how will it be? Because Wesley's wife, Taylor Corey, is from Canada, but he started here too, University of Louisville, in Iran, track and field, University of Louisville. So I was choosing him like to tell me more about like America and like how I can manage the weather and the food and everything. And she told me if she managed to stay in Kenya, definitely can manage to stay and struggle with those bad weather like winter and summer. I can manage to do that, and I was confident that I would do it. So I didn't have much trouble with that. And the most thing that got me into challenge was about the food. So it took me like about a year to get used to eating American food. I was surviving with bread most of the time, and bananas sometimes, and milk. But other food was like not the type of food that I could eat.
So what were the biggest surprises and challenges of transitioning to being a college student athlete? What were some training changes? What was that like?
Well, I was used to like training by myself, and actually training with a group of people and teammates, like knowing how to appreciate one another was like the best thing I've ever encountered. So I didn't get my surprises because I used to be running and studying at the same time. So I didn't think I had any surprises at all.
That's awesome. So you were used to that balance of the student athlete life.
Yes.
So your first semester of college, 2016, you're named ACC Freshman of the Year, and you already start breaking some records. You come in eighth place at the NCAA Southeast Regionals, which leads your team to its first ever appearance in the Women's NCAA Cross Country Championships. So what was that year competitively like for you? I noticed that after that, the NCAA meet in 2016, you didn't compete for the rest of the academic year. What was going on in your life at that time?
Okay, so when I came from Kenya, I was pregnant, but I didn't know about that. Like, it was like a couple weeks. I was like a couple weeks pregnant. I didn't know about that. And when I was trying the cross country, I was pregnant too, and I like didn't know more about it. So I was like still young when in Kenya, you know, like there's like a bunch of stuff going on in Kenya, like a lot of things going on in Kenya. So I didn't know about that. So I started having like stomachache and stuff like that. And when I see the doctor, they just thought like maybe it's just constipation and stuff like that. So they gave me some medication for this constipation, and it didn't go away after a while, but it was not that bad. So I just keep on running. After national, that's when they took me to a doctor and I do the pregnancy test and I found out I was pregnant.
Mm.
And that's why I didn't plan the next, I mean, the following season.
How becoming a mother changed your perspective as a student athlete?
Actually, before I said Hinckley, my daughter, I was just like running, you know, just running. It was just that's like obligation, just run and study. But now I have something else to think about. I am not just thinking about me. I have to think about her too, not just running and just studying this to study. I have to make sure I work hard for her too. So I have to find a job. I have to make sure she's doing okay. I have to make sure her health is okay. So that makes me like work extra harder. That makes me like to be resilient in many things. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds really challenging because it's already a huge responsibility to be a student athlete. And then to have another human to take care of, it seems like it would really make you evaluate your priorities and what you're working towards.
Right.
Then in 2007, the 2017 to 2018 academic year, you have an incredible return to running. You become the female from your school to win All-American honors at the NCAA championships. You have a runner-up finish in the 10K in the 2018 track championships. You're ACC Women's Track Athlete of the Year, and you set school records in the 3K, 5K, and 10K. Take us through what that year was like for you.
Wow, that was amazing year for me. As I told you, like, that was the year that I knew, like, now I am a mother and I have to bring the difference of me when I was a friend and just running. And now I have to use that, like, the hard work that came, me being a mother, kids make me work extra harder. That's why that year was a very, very, I would say like challenging, but it had more like, you know, when you have a challenging life, you have to choose two things, to be resilient or to go in a like, oh, I'm tired, I can't do this anymore. So I was like, if I just backslide only one step, I'm like, I'm tired, I can't do this anymore. And that's the moment when I'll be like, I don't know if I'll get out of there anymore. So I was like, I'm gonna go in a positive side and I'm gonna put my mind in a positive way so I can keep on moving no matter what. I just keep on moving. No matter what the challenges I'm going through, like going to a job, pursuing my nursing degree, and I have to get down with my practice, I have to get down with my weightlifting and stuff like that. I just have to keep on working hard and hard. And me working hard made me like, so what am I working hard for if I can't get what I want? Like, I had like vision of what I want that year. Like, I want to do this. I want to get this in my running career. I want to do this in NCAA. I was trying to be top three when I was at the NCAA 10K, and I got top three, which was good. So I had like vision and ambition of what I want in my running that year, and it was a very amazing thing for me.
Sounds like you had a very clear sense of purpose. What type of support were you receiving? Because I feel like there's a lot of stigma maybe around pregnancy and motherhood in college. Do you feel like you defied some expectations there?
Well, before I chose to keep Hinckley, like, not to a bosa or a doctor to anybody, I made my mind already. So I was like, no matter what you say to me, no matter what you tell me, I know I am much better than what you think. And it's better for you to think what you think about me than to know what you know about me. If you don't want to know me more. So the best thing to do is just not focus on what other people are saying or thinking about you. Just focus on being you and focus on those people who help you and love you. So, and honestly, I got a lot of help from my teammates, from my coaches, and my friends around me. which was really good. I didn't feel any stigmatization. Like, I didn't say it, I know it was there, or we're still there. I didn't see it because I didn't focus on that, or I didn't like put my ear into even hearing them or anything. And I say, even if I had like something just tiny bit about it, I just assume like there's nothing going on over there. So I was just focusing on something that's positive. So yes, I didn't even think about it.
Totally. Yeah. Focus on what you can control, do the best with what you have. And that's really all you can ask for. Mm-hmm. So 2018 to 2019, again, another incredible year for you. You took first at NCAA Southeast Regionals with a personal best course record 6K time of 19:42. You were an All-American with a 14th place finish at the NCAA Cross Country Championships. First Louisville athlete to receive the Regional Athlete of the Year honors. And you became an All-American on the track again, this time in the 5K, I believe it was. So what was this next level like for you? Had you made any major training changes that allowed you to keep seeing the success, or was it just continuing your hard work? What were some highlights of that year?
Yeah, it was just the continuation of what I've been doing before. And again, that's the time that I think started becoming like a little bit hard, because I joined the upper division of nursing. So I like to go to clinicals after like really late. I like to train by myself. I like not get enough time to train, because I'd be like standing the whole day in the clinic, but then come back at night, I'm really, really tired. And but still, like I say, me having Kinsley make me like really, really strong. Even if I am really tired at night, I'm like, I have to do it, because I am a mother, and this is how, and this is what mothers have to do.
You ran a 15:25 5K at the BU season opener that year. What was, do you remember that race specifically?
Yes, I do. That was the time, like, you know, at the end of the season, you feel like, oh, I can't just wait to get done with this, because you're so tired. You're really, really tired. Yeah, that's the time that I was like, I am really, really exhausted. I was like telling coach, I don't think I'll be able to go there. And it was like my second time being a championship with people like Kaladi, and like people who have like good times in NCAA. So I was like, I don't think I'll be able to do that. But my coach told me, just show up, just be there, and I'm sure you're a competitive person, no matter how hard you're tired or whatever is going on with you, you're a competitive person. And I'm like, you're right, so I'll just go there, I'll show up and do what I can do. So I showed up, and I had a good run. I fell down, but still I ran like 15:25. I was like, hey, what if I didn't fall down? I'm still asking myself, what if I didn't fall down? Actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that same season, I think I saw that you ran one of your races without a shoe. That race?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't played races yet.
That's crazy. I feel like that would be, I remember in middle school, I lost a shoe during a race once, and it was very painful and distracting, but I made it through.
Yeah, it was so distracting, but well, I say I have to get it done. I can't stop at the middle. I am that person where I'm like, I will stop when it's like really, really bad, but if I can skip around, I just keep on going.
Mm-hmm. That's why you're such a great competitor. So you have this really beautiful progression in cross country and track from 2016 to 2018. Specifically at the ACC conference meet, you go from 8th, 2nd to 1st in those 3 years. And at the national stage, you go from 145th, 29th to 14th. What do you credit for that 3-year progression?
Personally, I want to thank my coaches for helping me with all, like, everything. I wouldn't do it without them. and my teammates too. And most importantly, I appreciate myself for just being who I am. I'm so proud of myself sometimes, like most of the time, I'm proud of who I am.
What would you say is your greatest strength as a runner?
Perseverance. I am good at persevering most of the time, and no matter how pain the situation is, I just keep on going. And I always tell myself, keep on going until like you are really, really at the corner. Like you can't even move your leg, but just keep on going. Just keep on doing it.
So this past season, it looks like you redshirted, or you redshirted 2019 cross country. What was going on in your life then?
So after the cross country of 2018
was it?
18, yeah. After the cross country of 2018, I started feeling my hamstring. So I had like hamstring problems, but they didn't know what was wrong with it. So they were just doing like massaging and dry needling, but after we went to the doctor, and I had a strain on my hamstring. And it was like a chronic one, like it happened a long time before, but I didn't know about it. So it took like forever for me to recover from it. Up to this point, I'm still trying to treat my hamstring to be better. Even at the indoors, I didn't do as much as I wanted, like, or as much as I would have done when in healthy state. But I believe that I'll be there one day.
Had you experienced any major injuries at that point?
Yeah, I think me having hamstring pain was my major injury, because I've never felt like that injury that can make me stay out of the season before. I think I would consider that as my major injury, because I wouldn't even do anything other than just joking.
And then what was your comeback like this 2020 track season?
I didn't try to push anything harder, because indoor was just coming back time. I didn't have like ambition to go to NCA or qualify or anything. I was just like trying to see how my hamstring is going, how everything is going. So it was just like coming back season for me. But I was getting to be ready and prepared during the outdoor season, and that's what we agreed with my coaches. But due to COVID, we didn't do anything. But I still do my practice and what I was doing.
So far, what have been your proudest racing moments?
During the NCAA championship 10K, I was proud of myself, because I was like, can I just let them go, because I feel like they're stronger than me, or I can't even try to compete with them. But I said, no one is stronger than anybody. It's just about who you are, and it's just accepting that you can be just like them. Just put yourself there and be like them, and you will see what you can do. And I trusted myself. So when I saw people moving, I started to move with them. But I didn't move as early as I was supposed to, but I moved with them. And that was the proudest moment in my life. So and that gave me kind of like, no matter how you think someone is strong, you are strong too. Just be there.
Yeah, so it sounds like it took you some time to feel a sense of belonging up in that top group, and the courage to take some of those risks.
Right.
So what is your training like generally? Like, what type of mileage do you do? What are some of your favorite workouts?
So as I told you, I took some break away from running, and I started focusing on my classes. So I started running like just a month ago. So now I'm just doing the mileages. I haven't done anything for the workouts yet. So the cross country, the most important part is the November part. So I'm still feeling like it's far away. And the thing about running is you knowing your body and knowing yourself. So I feel like I am that person who come into shape like so quickly. So if I start doing like the workouts now and stuff like that in the timber runs, I feel like I'm gonna come into shape so quickly when the time is not for the shape yet, like at the beginning of the season, which is not like usable yet. So I feel like I should be doing like the mileages now and later on start doing the work, like the little workouts, like the speed work. Although like I have to ask my coaches for more support and information and stuff like that, but I still think I should be doing mileages right now.
Currently we're facing really challenging times and the future of cross country and group training and even the fall semester is very unknown. So how has COVID-19 been affecting you?
I miss training with my teammates, of course. And this is the time that we were supposed to be doing like the regionals and getting like ready for the NCAA. And it affected me because I was like really, really ready. This is my second last cross outdoor season. Since I didn't compete cross country and I didn't do well, I mean, it was just my coming back, as I said, as a indoor. I was like really ready for the outdoor and see what I got myself during the outdoor season. But that made me like to take a break a little bit. Because I was like, oh, I want to do this and this. But I took a break a little bit because I had like a knee injury and stuff like that. So I'm like, I'm going to take a break a little bit because of coronavirus, which was kind of gave me a chance to recover or, yeah, something like that. But still, it took the chance of many people to give up what they had in the hotel.
How do you currently balance your time between home in Kenya and where you are at school in Louisville?
How do I balance it?
Mm-hmm. Like, do you go home in the summers ever? Like, how much time do you get to spend home versus at school?
Oh, okay. So I do not go home during summertime because that's the time I maximize my training and that's the time that I try to find a job to get more money because I have a daughter's place. And that's the time that I have to take my psychology minor class. So I don't go home during summer. I go home during winter, which is only like 2 to 3 weeks, but that's enough for me to just say hi to my parents and catch up with them.
You get to train with your sisters and stay in touch with your sisters in regards to running. What are your sisters up to?
Yes. So Corona is affecting like over the world now. So my sisters are just running like every individually now. Like they are not in the kind of training camps or anything like that. And she told me she in a dilemma like if she can run Boston or London Marathon. So I'm like, you do that. You do your thing. It's difficult to choose between those things. Like it's her big races. She loves all of them, but it's just hard for her. But anyway.
Heading into your final year of college, what would the icing on the cake be for you? What sort of legacy do you want to live out and leave behind?
I would say someone who is patient and humble. That's what I would want to leave behind me. I don't want to be like that person who's like pressing all around and stuff. Like I want just to be humble and respect everyone, no matter where they come from, no matter the situation that they're in. Just respect everyone because you don't know. You don't know what choices they had. You don't know why they made whatever they made. So just be humble and respect everyone. And more importantly, just work hard and think positively.
So we talked a little bit about what type of legacy you want to leave behind this coming year. Beyond college, what are some of your future goals and dreams in life?
I want to keep on running if I can do it, and I can do it, but if I keep on being me and being healthy, more important, I'll keep on running. I'll be in marathon after that. And I love pursuing medical stuff. So if I can't keep on pursuing running for some reason, I'll do doctorate. And yeah, that's my future dream.
That's awesome. What inspired you to work towards a nursing degree?
When I was like young, about 10 years there, I was living with my grandmother, and she was bit with a snake, and I did not know what to do, so I just stayed there and watched her dying, and that was so devastating. Like, I wish I could know what to do. I wish I could even like try something, but I didn't know what to do. And you know, in Kenya, like, hospitals are like far away, and we don't have like personal cars. You have to wait for the bus and stuff like that, public transportation. So it was so hard for my grandmother. So she just died there without any help. And that made me like, if I could know like what to do, I would help her. And I said, I'm going to learn what to do to help other people in case their health are in danger. And that's why I want to pursue medicine.
That sounds like a really challenging experience, and I'm sorry to hear about your grandmother's passing, but it also sounds like that ultimately propelled you to want to work towards that degree in nursing and in making a much greater impact. Well, Dorcas, it's been so awesome talking to you. I've really appreciated your time this afternoon. I have one final question for you. So what is a piece of advice that you would tell to a younger version of yourself, and what is a message that you want to leave for a future version of yourself?
To my younger self, I would say like to be patient and to be more aware of what I'm doing and why I'm doing that, because I feel like when I was a freshman, even before being a freshman in college, I was just doing many stuff because I feel like it was my obligation to do that. I felt like going to school, I have to go to school and I have to do this career because I love it, and I feel like it was my obligation to do that. But I should say, be more patient and be aware of what you're doing and why you're doing it. For my future self, I'd say I'm so proud of myself and keep on working hard, because there's no way I can reach my potential without working hard. Just keep on working hard, keep on being resilient.
Thank you so much for listening to episode 14 of Triple Knot. I was aware of Dorcas's success, but I had never heard any of her backstory, so it was really neat to hear directly from her and what a humble perspective she has on her journey and accomplishments. Also, I had no idea that her sister is the world record holder in the marathon, and I don't think I have fully comprehended just how incredible that is. I wish I'd asked her more about how that has affected her family and what an inspirational force that must be in her life. Anyways, tune in next week for an episode with University of Georgia's Jess and Sam Drop for a conversation about mental health, eating disorders, their twin dynamic, their success, growth, and more. I'll have a couple more episodes coming out after that, and then we'll be taking a break for the remainder of the summer. So thank you and take care.